From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, March 20th, 2017. And on this day in Augusta, a battle over the voter-approved surtax on higher incomes in the state that would support public education. And another battle over whether to allow, limit, or ban metal mining in the state. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
In November, voters approved a surtax on higher incomes in the state to bring in more money to fund K-12 education in Maine. Passionate supporters and opponents were at a lengthy public hearing on the surtax today before the legislature's taxation committee. Mal Leary has our report.
School funding has long stirred political passions in Maine. In 2004, a group led by the Maine Education Association successfully passed a citizen-initiated referendum calling on the state to pay for 55% of the cost of local schools. Successive legislatures ignored that vote. Last year, the MEA again pushed a citizen initiative that imposed a 3% surtax on those with household incomes of more than $200,000 a year. The state has started collecting that surcharge, expected to raise about $124 million this year for schools. But during the public hearing, opponents lined up to say the income tax rate of 10.15% is the highest in the country and is already leading professionals, such as doctors and engineers, to leave Maine. They say that will make recruiting new professionals to Maine a lot more difficult. Representative Carl Ward, a Republican from Dedham, is president of the Brewer-based Nickerson O'Day Construction Company. It's one of the largest construction companies in the state. Ward expressed a view of many in the business community.
I'm here to testify in favor of any and all bills that will repeal the economic disaster known as Question 2, which penalizes successful businesses.
Ward argued that most Maine companies are small and that the owners already pay taxes on the money they earn through their personal income taxes. He says they will be hard hit by the tax surcharge. But Nick Paquette, an electrician from Benton, told lawmakers that voters spoke last fall and that their voices should be heard.
I find it appalling that some legislators and other wealthy interests are so quick to try to overturn the will of the voters. The opposition to Question 2 made their case to the voters, but ultimately the voters voted yes.
Not all legislators support the repeal effort. Senator Troy Jackson of Allegash, the Senate Democratic leader, says he agrees that the will of the voters should not be overturned. He points out that while tax cuts that have been passed over the last few years, the state has failed to meet its responsibility to fund its 55% share of public education. That has meant increased property taxes for many communities.
Asking the rich to pay their fair share will not only allow us to fully fund education, it will restore fairness to a tax system that is squeezing the middle class to benefit the wealthy.
Dana Connors, president of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce, says he interprets last fall's vote as a vote for additional school funding. Connors says that's a goal that's supported by the business community. But he says the way the measure accomplished that goal, with a surtax, is having serious consequences for Maine's economy.
We believe there must be a better way to achieve this goal, one that will not hinder Maine's ability to grow its economy by attracting additional investment, and one that will not hurt our ability to attract the talent necessary to meet the needs of our economy.
Instead of the current surtax, lawmakers were given a wide array of other taxes to consider as a replacement. One proposal would raise the tax on tobacco and recreational marijuana. Another idea is to raise the meals and lodgings tax rate and to expand the sales tax for amusements like ski lift tickets and golf green fees. Based on the testimony and the questioning, lawmakers appear divided on repealing the surtax, which will be subject of additional discussion in the weeks to come. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The issue of metal mining in Maine and how it should be regulated has been debated again and again in the legislature, but it is far from settled. Environmentalists and residents of Arista County were at the State House Monday for another go. Steve Missler has our story.
Lawmakers are reviewing seven different mining bills. One contains provisional mining rules, unanimously approved by the Board of Environmental Protection in January. It would allow mining operators to apply for a permit, and mining companies would have to provide proof that they have the financial means to pay for cleanup costs. Other proposals either limit or ban metal mining altogether. Shelley Mountain, who owns a camp at Portage Lake in Arista County, is skeptical that any of the seven bills will reconcile differences between those who believe mining has economic benefits and those who worry its environmental hazards aren't worth the risk.
The onus is always on Aroostook citizens to trek down here, and when they do, their concerns are ignored in favor of the concerns of environmental and industry lobbyists.
Mountain opposes revising mining regulations to allow mining at Bald Mountain in Aroostook. She was one of dozens who testified before the Environment and Natural Resources Committee on Monday. Supporters of new rules argue that the current ones are so restrictive that no mine operator can apply for a permit. They include Bob Dorsey, the president of Aroostook Partnership for Progress, a group promoting business development in the county. Dorsey says mining at Bald Mountain would create hundreds of jobs, spur economic growth, and curb population loss.
We're losing 1,200 to 2,000 people every 5 years. Between 2015 and 2025, we'll lose 7,000 taxpayers.
One proposal by Democratic State Senator Brownie Carson of Harpswell allows mining, but prohibits it under lakes, rivers, wetlands, and state parks. The Natural Resources Council of Maine-backed bill also requires mining companies to create a trust to pay for any environmental disaster that may occur. The debate over mining has raged for years, but it intensified 5 years ago when a bill backed by Canadian corporation J.D. Irving sought to rewrite highly restrictive regulations that have existed since 1991. Lawmakers are expected to review and amend the proposals throughout the legislative session. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A tip to the Maine Warden Service resulted in charges for five hunters from Massachusetts and one from Maine after the group allegedly killed nearly 90 snowshoe hare during an illegal weekend hunting trip to Great Duck Island. Corporal John McDonald of the Maine Warden Service said the men were apprehended Saturday on Great Duck, about 10 miles off Mount Desert Island.
I think all the indications, at least so far, it's a sport-related kill, and I think we always hope to catch people in the act like this when we get a good tip, but sometimes, and actually most times, these don't follow through really as planned.
McDonald said the hunters were found to have taken 67 snowshoe hares over their daily bag limit. In total, the group allegedly killed 87 hares during their day of hunting on the island that is owned by the Nature Conservancy. State officials are applauding a decision by Amazon to begin collecting and remitting Maine sales tax beginning April 1st. Department of Economic and Community Development Commissioner George Gervais says Maine businesses can go toe-to-toe with the very best out-of-state companies, provided they're competing on an equal playing field. In a written statement this afternoon, Gervais says Amazon's decision is an important first step in leveling that playing field. And finally today, David Rockefeller, banker, philanthropist, and summer resident of Seal Harbor on Mount Desert Island, died today, just a few months shy of his 102nd birthday. The Rockefeller family helped establish Acadia National Park and made an additional land donation 2 years ago. Patty White has more.
To mark his 100th birthday in 2015, David Rockefeller donated 1,000 acres of land adjacent to Acadia National Park to the Mount Desert Island and Garden Preserve. At the time, Rockefeller said he was compelled by his personal connection to the area.
I realized that Seal Harbor, maybe more than any other location that I can think of in the world, has been important to me since I first came here when I was 3 months old in my parents' hands.
That gift continued the legacy of his father, John D. Rockefeller, who financed and donated about 50 miles of carriage roads that weave around Acadia. It was during David Rockefeller's time in Maine that he developed an interest in the natural world, specifically, as he told Charlie Rose in this 2002 interview, beetles. Rockefeller eventually collected more than 100,000 specimens.
Collecting beetles?
Yes.
Well, I spent a summer studying nature study. Actually, Henry Ford II was in the same little group up in Maine.
But Rockefeller is best known for his roles as chief executive of Chase Manhattan Bank and as a philanthropist, which he discussed with Rose.
There are many things that I could have done better and might have done differently, but I think that on the whole, I've been able to use what was given to me in terms of very substantial wealth in a way that I think has been beneficial to society.
David Rockefeller died of congestive heart failure Monday at his home in New York. He was 101 years old. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Monday, March 20th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.